This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of John chapter 11. And I read to you verse 25 to 26. Jesus said unto her, that is to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when she responded to Martha about the death of their brother Lazarus. And in thinking of this, our subject is the resurrection and eternal state. The resurrection and eternal state. And me can say, in some country, I can somewhat. You read your scripture. Oh yeah, and you did your demand, Martha. And right now, Martha, if you send in Sambia far, then you allow us, I know we will. And I say, no, no, yeah, you put a big announcement, say, a who sorry, and da, a who sorry, a tea, to be a dog or da, and who send me a person. Said the Nipa Bayer, say, a who sorry, a back, a rear, and Nipa, we are saying, we are teaching Mukwa. Nipa Tibia Bay, and you're doing your home and then I'll pay. And before we move on, I mean, we consider basically as our text. I just want to give you a recap of the whole account that you know that when Lazarus got sick, from our reading from verse 1, Mary and Martha sent a messenger to the Lord Jesus Christ because they believed that they could, when he's around, he can heal their brother. Because even when they met him, they told him if he was here, he wouldn't have died. They knew that Lord Jesus Christ would have killed him, which is true. But we are told in verse 4 to 6 that Lord Jesus Christ on purpose did not come immediately. When the messenger came to tell him of their brother's illness, he didn't come immediately. So when Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days, then Jesus came to Bethany. The air can say, Mary and Martha. Now, Lazarus said, who are you still for in that and 9 4 days? You know, when I feel speak to Bar Bethany, a crono, Mary, and Martha, and Lazarus, woman. It's your train, who we are, and son of our back. The Bible no train says, Sadi, and no person, Yankupon, you know, a day, I was that, a final soul. But did that, a day, say Yankupon to me out. I don't know yes, when Yankupon, I walk to me walk, and quite any woos. But then, when Lord Jesus Christ was coming, we are told that Martha went to meet him on the way. And she told him, as I've said, that she believed that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to raise her brother from the dead. And that she believed that the day of resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ raised him from the dead. But he knew that Lazarus was dead already. And he knew that, well, Jesus Christ is coming to maybe comfort them. And somehow, he didn't really have that full assurance that maybe the Lord himself will raise him from the dead. But so he saw that, well, at the day of resurrection, the Lord will raise him. From verse 21 to 24, we have that. And what Martha, let me read that one to you before I move on. 21 to 24. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. He said, say unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And this thing that Martha said is something that among the Jews at the time, they were divided on the issue of resurrection. The Bible tells us in Acts 23:8 that the Sadducees, of the Jews, believe that there's no resurrection. They believe that when you die, that's all. They were Jews, but look at how they think. They believe that when you die, that's all. There's no judgment, there's no nothing after death. But the Pharisees believe that there is resurrection of the dead. And they also believe that there's going to be a judgment and an afterlife. They believe in that. So the Bible tells us that they denied that there's any resurrection. The other kind is a matter of some of kind. So Jesus Christ will be here and brother. Oh, what who's sorry, I know, baby. No, and somewhere, and a crane, no, Israel for some reno. Now, I'm watching me, you know, Sassim, who say who's sorry, and a wage rate down funnel. Sadducee for no, I'm going to say who's sorry, be our hope. Almost I'm soon going to say wage and quite be our hope, you're going to say. But far as see for the no mood, did he say, Bibisa, oh, sorry, oh, a temple or ho, and a enquire to a down quire to a sorry. So we know that the Pharisees were right because the Bible teaches that there's resurrection of the dead. As the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it says that, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame. And everlasting contempt. I said, I don't know. I doubt as I see, I show so my wuno. That's sorry. If you call down, call you call Limguasia, any da at it. So, as I'm saying, Martha was expressing her faith in this doctrine that there's resurrection of the dead. So, he said that he believed the brother would be resurrected by the Lord. But interestingly, he was affirming this truth to nobody but to the Lord of life, Jesus Christ himself, who holds our life and who supply us with all our sustenance. They are so interesting. They say, yes, no matter, some are okay. On country of your country, a radi, yanko pongwa, yes, Christ, our year, a mkwara, a mkwakura, a yankwakura, you say, one of our cats are assuming at the actual. Isn't it wonderful that if we all have this faith, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has this life that we have is in his hand. And that whether we live or die, we have to do with him. So that it's foolishness for some to reject him and his mercy for us in this life. It is foolishness for us to live our life away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can say, and yet, sir, I don't want to say, a idea, and we hear say, yes, Christ, we are proud, young, and ye be behind you. And yet, who hear my sir, I could be able to not in my sentence. If you say, one will cry, young, and so. If you say, Bimu, M person with your money, it's not so much on my bravo, a fee, no, and so on, no crying come. Is it not any idea? It's so interesting. So, in response to the Lord Jesus Christ, she said that the Lord Jesus Christ has power. I mean, she believed that the Lord Jesus Christ can raise her brother from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, confirmed to him. What actually, what she's saying, that she's not even, her faith maybe will not be strong. He said that in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? So Jesus Christ took the occasion to tell her, I that am speaking to you, I am the Lord of life. The resurrection you are speaking about, I am the one who holds it. I am the one to give it. I am the one I can give it at any time. And also, whoever believes in me will have that eternal life which he never dies. So you see, just what I just told her, that he holds the power of the resurrection and the life. It is in his hands. And he is the one we have to do. So then Martha afterwards confirms her faith in this thing and said that, in verse 27, she says unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. So Martha's faith had been sealed. What she knew the Lord Jesus Christ can do, she has said, yes, I am the one. I'm the one who can do all these things. So, and the Lord Jesus Christ went on to raise Lazarus from the dead, as we told in the narrative, to demonstrate his power over death, and also show that he is able to give eternal life to all who raise their hopes in him. As he said, he that believeth in me shall never die. He posed the question to Martha, believest thou this? Do you also believe it? And that question should be spoken, should be asked to each one of us. Do you also believe that? That one day it is Christ who will give life to all the dead bodies who have lived, all those who have lived millions, people who have lived on this earth and have died and gone. The life, all their lives are in his hands. The bodies that have been cast to the graves, all those life in his hand. And do you believe that he's able to do that? And have you also given yourself to him? Are you persuaded that he has life? Life is from him, and that without him you don't have life. And are you persuaded that when you live your life away from him, you are moving on to death? Because he that believeth on me shall never die. So if you don't believe on him, by and by eternal death awaits you. No, he's not speaking about physical death. Physical death, we shall all die. But speaking of eternal death, that you'll be separated from life. You live in eternal damnation. That's what he's trying to say. Let me kind of say, yes, we talk about the same way. Now, also, when you are Lazarus, the from the train, to me, a warsaw. And now, also, or the train, may some on one, also, walk down, or the man, or be or the red, and be seen. Now, may some be some matter, Sansom, for example, which is that the media, and some will see, be so be. Wonso gidiya na wo gidi se Yesu Kristo nu na wo nkwa wo onu nu na dan kwa ejina ne so ana. Well, many people think he is, but they don't believe in him because they have not trusted their life to him. If you believe that he is life, you will look for him, you will chase after him, your heart will be moving after him each and every day. So you have really found that he has also saved you. So that is what Martha was trying to established, and the Lord says, "I confirm it to him, to her, and also by the physical demonstration of raising Lazarus, who was dead and thinking for 4 days. It's only just normal death. Now, I've heard some people that they're able to raise the dead, and it's interesting. I don't know. I've never seen, but they say. But this Lazarus was dead for 4 days, so he was thinking. You see, so just Christ did not just immediately raise him, but when he had really begin to decompose." Okay, so this conversation between Lord Jesus Christ and Martha reminds us of this important truth, these two important truths: resurrection from the dead and the eternal life, eternal state. A wusore any da and kwa, and as a mesima dachin nipabe asasi su kemuko na yam kwa mesima tv asi kemuko baby anipa ne bet nasin abeye. So, as we think of this resurrection of the dead and the eternal life, we will look at we'll first think about the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. So that, and this, I must say that, it's not about, you know, that we have body and souls. This is reference to the body. As the Bible tells us that the spirit do not die, the soul do not die. At death, there's separation. There's a life in the body, which is like the animal life. Animals have the same life. They sustain them to when they die, that soul. Human, the body has life in it, and the soul lives in the body. And this life in the body goes off when the soul leaves it. So you see. But at the resurrection, the body will be given life again. And then we join to the soul to go and face judgment. So what the Bible tells us that the bodies of the dead shall be brought to life again. And it's a truth in the Bible. As Daniel 12 verse 3 told us that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So that it tells us death is not the end of the human life. Death is a transition to eternity. The Bible says a wo enye nipa ewie ye. A wo ye as a international idea called da da nkwa nkwa eni ewie ye na le mo no bible ne ka da nkwa na e chem yinu e ko so e be fe de tie da nkwa no ebi mo 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 ko da nkwa ye ni jie mo ebi so ko da nkwa ye o ha o mo e be fe sa de. So when the Bible speaks of eternal life, often it refers to those who build the Lord. So Daniel tells a shame and everlasting contempt to separate the two. We'll look at that as we go on, what happens after death and the final day, what happens after that. But the first part of this text teaches us that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake. And as Revelation also confirms in Revelation 20 verse 13, the first verse says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. For that is the day of resurrection. At the day of resurrection, all those who have died in the sea, all those who have been drowned into the sea, the rivers, whatever, that we never saw their bodies, God knows where their bodies are. Those that have been buried in the graves, that have been buried deep, deep down for many years, God knows where their bodies are. He'll bring them up. Each and every human being, God will bring their body up. The Bible can say, Ada, as we saw a baby born. Omo omo uwe opuso, eni nsi omo a ye hu omo boy, omo ye hu omo nam, ye hu nipedia. Omo a ye si omo, infia pen pen bebreke omo kwa, ye ni baby omo nipedia wono. Yankupon ebe ma omo nipedia na kan sababio. So that he will bring all of them alive to life. And those that were torn by animals and whatever, they will all be brought alive. And then they will be brought to life at the day of resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ also told us something, John chapter 5, 28 to 29, when he has previously said that all those that will believe in him, he will deliver them from eternal death. That eternal separation from God. And he said in verse 28, 29, he said that, marvel not at this, when he has said that he's able to bring them this life, eternal life, he can deliver them from eternal damnation. He said that, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And the voice being himself. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So you see the difference. We will look at the difference as we go on. So that we will see that Lord Jesus Christ did not only declare the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, but also show that he has the power. All those that will hear his voice, the Bible always tells us that God, there will be a shout for those who are sleeping in the grave. And it's interesting that those who have died, when you speak to them, they can't hear. But the day comes, Christ will speak, and they will rise up. Because he holds their life. He only can speak to life, and he can speak to death. That's why he can speak to the dead, arise. He can speak to Lazarus, lose him and let him live. And let him go. And Lazarus arise, and he rises. Only he has that. You see? So that all those rotten bodies, when they hear his voice, they will arise. It shows who can claim this if it's not God. So that is it is interesting how people can claim that Jesus Christ was less than God. How can he do that? If he was not God, how can he call the bodies that have turned to dust to be brought to back? It tells us of somebody who can create. Somebody who has the power of creation in his hand. And no other person but God. You see, he only his voice so that marvel not at this, for thou is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They will hear the voice and just come forth. The time has not come. He only has the time he will call them. So you see that it is a starting when people want to live their life away from Christ. Where they want to live, they want to have their way, why they have given this temporal time to live. I am so wise, I live my life for myself that I cannot give my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, even if you are to permit to live for a long time, your life is in his hand. And when you die, your life is in his hand. You cannot run away from him. In this life, people run away somehow in their own way from him. But it's like when you have chained a dog in the garden and it's moving around. That's what we do. We are like we are in a chain. And we, those of us who don't want to, and we give their life to Christ, they are in a chain, moving around where they have been hung. But when the time comes, he will come and take us up. And we all face him at the day of judgment. So, that is it. So, the Lord Jesus Christ has told us that it's not that he himself declared this doctrine, but he also shows that he has the power to raise people from the dead. And also, his own resurrection from the dead confirms this doctrine. Not only did he say it, and also say that day he has the power, his own resurrection from the dead declare this truth of the resurrection. As we are told of in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 24. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Adam all had physical death. In Adam we were our bodies turned to became mortal. So in Christ, there will be physical resurrection of the dead. All will be made alive at the day of the resurrection. So that Adam brought death, physical death to us. Christ has brought resurrection from this physical death. So here, it confirms that Christ's own resurrection shows that this resurrection is not just a head knowledge. It's something which is real. But Christ has not died and rose up again. But the fact is that Christ's resurrection is called the first fruit in this verse that I just quoted. First fruit of them, that's because he was the first to rise to immortality. Yes, Christ, you see, on only Obia, Unya Nimono, Odikai. I said, the first fruit, and I said, if you have put an idea, the Abbas on Edikai Swan, and not just say, Ebiano, Besu, Bibri, and Bre, Ecoso. So, yes, Christo, new Unya, new story, and I just said, said the Bible, I can't say, Usure, now, Nidia no air, first fruit, and if we say, Nidia, or no penny, no Usureano, a year, I can't say, is it just the original or, a representative of real resurrection. Because, Nidia no, oh, yes, sorry, where would you? Ah, or Tinase, Afibor. You know, in the Old Testament, and even the New, some people died and were raised from the dead. Remember the widow of Sarepta's son by Elijah. Elijah rose there from the resurrected him. The Shunammite son, Elisha, did. And the man who was thrown into the prophet Elisha's tomb, then she rose from the dead. She was a dead man. They were going to bury her, but I think they heard some noise. I think they were going to attack, and they threw the body to the grave of the prophet. And he came to life again. And that in the New Testament, we know of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and that of Lazarus. But all this people, they died again. Theirs were not as Christ's resurrection. Theirs, they all died again to be risen up again at the day of resurrection. Only Christ died, and he brought immortality to life. He only showed that there's that resurrection that men will rise up and never die physically again. Even sinners will not physically die, they will have eternal death, separation from God and punishment. But that mortal thing about us, Christ has taken it away. He has come to take it away. So, he's the first reward. His resurrection only represents what true resurrection is about. So that if we don't know anything about it at all, let's look at the Savior. He has shown us what it is when we talk of resurrection of the dead. Again, he's the first of them that slept because he also manifested how the resurrection of God's children will be. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the vile bodies of the God's children will be fashioned and made like his glorious body. Christ, when he rose up, the Bible tells us his body was not again subject to death. His body was changed. Physical body was made in a state that he could not die again. But before he came, the body he took could die. But when he rose up from the dead, his physical, not that God is God, his physical body was not subject to death again. And we are told that the kind of glory and the kind of nature he had, that's what believers will have idea of resurrection. So that his face was a picture of God's children rising from the dead. You see, though that's going to happen to the sinners, which we'll talk about that. But his was what? Showing that those who have their faith in him, when they are brought up from resurrection, they'll be like his. It will be glorious. It's a token of the beauty and the glory of the resurrection, which all those that will come to Christ will have to taste at the day of the resurrection. As the Bible always put it, that the believers will have a better resurrection. Believers will have the better resurrection. So that is why it's called resurrection of life. The Bible just says, a daily for Christ, Okay, so another thing that the resurrection of the human body teaches is that it shows that the human body is above that of the animal. You see, people try to classify the human because we are subject to things like animals, sicknesses, death, and I mean, we are off. And they think that, well, we are just like animals. Okay? But it tells, the resurrection of the human body, it tells that animals' bodies will not be resurrected. God never said that when animals die, he will raise their bodies up again. No, he will not do that. But human body will be resurrected. Though animals and us, we are all made of dust. Our bodies are made of dust. That's why when we die, we all go back again to the dust. But then, The Bible, the resurrection tells us that the human body is above the animal. That is why also at the day of judgment, damnation or judgment for our sins includes sins of the body. What we use our bodies to commit, God will judge us. That's why the body is different from that of animals. At the day of judgment, we shall be judged according to our works. Not only what we thought or what we desire, but what we actually use this body to serve. That's why in the New Testament, we are told that Christians are saved from the that bondage of the physical body subjected to slavery to sin. So that we know that humans are not to think that we are so free to use our bodies as we please. You know, the common thing with many, we call them sensualists. They think that all that we live for is to satisfy our fleshy pleasures. All that Omufu said, the nipa say yeti we are see yezi we are say yebe hunama kono ni eni jengwa. Omufu said nipa biyana tisa abuadiye. It is a yetinasiya osi hunama kono ni eni jengwa. So they think that's the purpose of life. But the Bible tells us it is a distorted conscience to think so. To think that this human body is to serve sin. It's because sin is in the mind. So our minds are distorted. And the Bible always tells us that we all need a renewal of the spirit. We need the rebirth. We need a change in us. We need a conversion. Conversion from our heart, so that our eyes should be open to realize what all that we are. Even the body which the Bible tells us not to make it our goal to serve it and to make it like our aim of living, yet not to abuse it. When we are converted, then our mind is brought to this realization. They realize how it is true that this body must not be used to serve sin against the will of God. Did not give us this body to serve sin. He gave the body to Adam for a purpose, so that Adam will live to please God and not to serve his own life. But because sin came in, human mind is thinking that, well, I have this body, I have to, because this body has desires, I have to just fulfill it. And it doesn't matter how I live, it doesn't matter how God says, I have to continue to live. But when we are converted, when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to change our mind and giving us that spirit of truth and holiness, then we realize how this body must be kept pure. In the First Corinthians, we are told the body, we are the temple, the believers are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God is supposed to come and dwell in this body. So that it will be used to serve the purpose of which God created it for. But then until that time that people are converted, when you have not known the Lord Jesus Christ, when your heart has not been converted, when your mind is still subject to slavery to sin, you don't have even the desire to think that you have to use your body to serve the Lord aright. You are moved by the desire of the flesh to fulfill the last devil. And the Bible tells us that when our hearts are not changed, we desire not to be to live right toward God. We don't desire. We use all our being to serve sin. But when we are saved and our hearts are changed, we realize, oh, in this body, I should not bring in the thing that will cause it more corruption. That is why I remember a friend asked me, in the Bible, it is not written, thou shalt not smoke. So smoke is not sin. And I told him, yes, there are many things in the Bible that does not say that, but there are principles that tells us that they are sinful. What does smoking do to the body? It destroys the body. It brings it, it's a toxic to the body. So the Bible says we should not destroy the body. So if I destroy the body, I sin. So under that, smoking is sin. But he think, well, I would have not said thou shalt not smoke. So smoking is nonsense. So that's the thing. But the Bible tells us how even to keep the body pure for the Lord. Though the body has become mortal, it's one day die. But yes, the Bible says even that, we should keep it pure for the Lord if we know him. So that one of the misery of those who are not converted is their slavery to fleshly lust. The Bible tells us in Titus 2, verse 3, so that they are careless in serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Sensually, serving anything that pleases me, I will do. Everything that makes me happy, I will do to satisfy myself. That is a slavery to sin. That serving that vessel, that word serving means become a slave to that thing. And that is what sin has made us to be. So the horrible thing that they should use their phrase to serve sin, it tells you that they have not known the conversion that God brings to his children, that makes us to think aright, to think that this body is not to serve sin. Because when we give our bodies to serve sin, the heart is hardened. It becomes hard against God's truth. It's hard, and then uncleanness directs all our desires. The more we use this body to serve sin, the more we are cut off from God. The more our mind will be blocked. Even when we hear the God's word, it will do nothing to us. We have no taste. We have no desire that the truth must have on us. So as the Lord says, Christ delivers from every sin, it is his own power. When we have come to trust in him and given ourselves to him, he delivers us from this mindset and this power over the human body to sin. And as we are told, Colossians 1:13-14, you see that who had delivered us, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the power of darkness, Satan, sin, and everything, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. When we have known God's forgiveness, then he changes our heart. Then he gives us the grace to really realize how in this body, that is now weak, that is subject to sicknesses, one day it will die, it will rot, even that body might be used to the honor of the Lord. But until that stage, we think that even if we think the body must be kept right, we are not really even sure how it must be. So my question to you that, is anyone here who lacks the power against fleshly lust? There are so many things, but fleshly lust is one of them. Because when we have that no control of our fleshly lust, it allows so many things to come in. It brings us to so many things that it cuts us from God. Do you lack power over your fleshly lust? Then, as the text tells us, he delivers from the power of darkness. Only Christ that can help you. He died for sin, and you have to go to him and tell him. He only can give you the power to overcome. You remember, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, as you know. But when she got converted, she had a heart to love Christ. She had a heart to love God. So it is that whoever has issue with sin, only Christ can deliver. It doesn't matter whatever sin it is. He only is able to deliver us. So go to him, tell him, and confess to him. He only can help you. But there's another truth that this doctrine also teaches, the resurrection of the dead, which is taking me to almost to my conclusion, that the resurrection is divided into two. I hinted at earlier. Daniel 12:2 tells us, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the Bible is not just raw, the resurrection, and that is all. No, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. So sometimes I have issue with those who think that, well, when we die, they call themselves Christians. So how can a dead be ashamed everlastingly? Except he has a life to realize it. Is that not so? You cannot shame a dead person. Dead person, if you say all the bad things he or she has done, does it shame him? No. But these people have a life to live, but it will be a shameful life. And John 5:28-29, we read it. He said that, for the hour is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ said it, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So these two expressions, everlasting life, shame, and everlasting contempt. Resurrection of life, the resurrection of damnation. So you see the two. It tells us the final state of all men, sinners and saints. When they have died, when we have died, there will be two states to go. Whether to damnation, to contempt us, the verse tells us, to shame and everlasting contempt, or to life, or to, as we say, the resurrection of life. So these things are the two eternal destinies awaiting the dead. But, and it's also the same thing that's awaiting for all of us who are alive at the day of judgment. Those who have died, they will rise up They will be raised up to this thing, and we also who are living will get up into this thing. So there are two eternal destinies awaiting all of us. And then these destinies will finally come. Though when people die, the eternal destinies are only cemented. Because when we are the lost people, we are separated from the sinners. And when we are sinners, there's a place they take us to. Like Lazarus and the rich man, the God's people go to where God has prepared for them, where they rest, where they are not tormented. But the souls of those who are sinners, who never repented of sin, lived in sin, are taken to a place of torment, even at that stage. And these are already separated. But the Bible tells us that there will be final separation, so that it will be so clear for us. So there are these two separations. We have the everlasting life. And what it is? What is everlasting life, and what is that? The resurrection of life. The Bible tells us it's a life of endless happiness and peace. Everlasting life, Bible says, there will not be a second what that they will come to us, anything that will alarm us. Those of us who go to this place, those of us whom Christ will give this privilege because He has washed their sins, He has forgiven them, He has saved them from their sins, they will have an endless happiness and peace. There will be freedom from sin and temptation to sin. Sin is the problem of man while we are in this state. But when that day comes, those who have everlasting life, sin will not be their problem again. So they cannot sin. They will be secure from that. Freedom from the miseries of sin. Sorrow, pain, guilt, and death. They will not have it. There will be a place where sorrow and pain, because sorrow, pain, guilt, death, they came because of sin. So those who will be in a place where there is no sin, this sins will be no more. All its troubles, sicknesses, will not be seen. So that will be a place where there will be perfect peace and happiness. A place also where those who will be there will be free from all needs, ever enjoying only good. There will be no place of lack. There will be no place, it will be a place that all that we think that we need will not come. We will not need anything. God will be the fullness for all who will be there. They will need nothing, but they will be in the presence of God. And there also, those who will be there will be living with Christ in person, but not by faith. Here we live by faith in Christ. We see Him by faith, but in heaven, in that eternal state of the blessed, those who are in Christ, they will live with Him physically. We will see Christ as He is, and also have everlasting fellowship with all the saints, from all those, those who God has saved from Old Testament to the New, and to those of us living this life, we'll have that fellowship with them forever. We'll have friends and fellowship that there will be no disappointment coming from them. They will not cheat and deceive us. Neither we also have a desire to cheat and deceive them. We will not have any bitterness. Envy, hatred will be gone. Nothing. Such friendship. We don't have that on earth. They will not cause us anything but ever enjoy the presence of God. That is everlasting life. And having God Himself living with us. Pain, sorrow, hunger, illness, everything will not be there. That is why it's called everlasting life or resurrection of life. They go into a life where there is no trouble, free. But then the everlasting other resurrection is called everlasting shame, contempt, and damnation. The difference: a life of endless sorrow and unrest. Those who've been hell, their sorrow and unhappiness and disquietness will be without end. In this life, sometimes we have troubles more, we have unrest more, we have some pains more, but over there, it's endless. There's no rest, there's no quietness for anyone there. Those who have this who join the everlasting, those who go to everlasting shame and contempt, that's the resurrection of sinners. Those who never repented of their sins, those who never sought forgiveness for their sins, and then gave their life to Christ so that He gives them this blessed everlasting life. They will go to this place. Also, they will be captivated by guilt, shame for every sin. You know, in this life, people can brush their mind about whatever they have done. They can lie and just put it on the carpet. They can cheat and put it on the carpet. They can do all sorts of things. But in hell, God will let you always realize your sinfulness. God will let you realize the pain of sin. In it, really, you cannot hide from your sin. You always feel your guilt. And how painful it will be that each and every sin I have committed, each and every day I have to live with that in my mind. Even if you feel sorry, it will not end. And then the pain will be unspeakable, the sorrow will be unspeakable. And also, God's mercies will be redrawn. In this life, you know, all the mercies, the advantages of life, all that we have, it's God's mercies. You know, the Bible tells us that God reigns on the sinner and the good. You see, all the temporal mercies, prosperity of the world, it is given for both God's people and the world to enjoy. In hell, and that everlasting contempt, these mercies will be withdrawn. God will have no mercy on a sinner who goes to hell. Because in that place, Satan is there. God will have no mercy on Satan. We are told that in hell, sinners will live with the father of sin, Satan. Satan himself will be punished there, and all those who followed him will be sent there. In Revelation 20, verse 7, we are told that, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. You see, they are tormenting. It's not that people think that, well, when at the day of judgment, people will be. Those who go to hell, they will cease their state. No. They will be tormented day and night forever. And verse 20:15 also adds that, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that is humans, was cast into the lake of fire. So where devil and his angels are, sinners will also be cast into the same place. So while the devil will be tormented day and night, sinners will have the same thing. The Bible said,
God, the righteous God tells us in John chapter, He's the father of lies. He's the father of all sin. So that if I want to live in sin, then at the end of the world, God will join me to Him. Suffer forever. So that the Bible never tells us that the devil will cease to exist, but it tells us he will suffer forever. And those who have also sinned will suffer with him forever. The unrepentant liar, the disobedient, proud, the fornicator, the hater, the cheat, the unbelief, will have their portion with Satan. Where do you want to have your portion? Do you want to have your portion with Satan and his demons? Or those that will live with Christ and all those who have lived for him? Which one will you choose? Or which one have you chosen already? So that the duration of hell sufferings, as the Bible tells, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, without end, eternal damnation. That's why I said that the everlasting contempt, everlasting resurrection of damnation. You see, it will be tormented day and night. I know in Christian there are some groups that think of the annihilation of sinners, meaning that sinners will cease to exist after the judgment and everything. Though they think that God is so merciful that He will not punish sinners in hell forever. So, at a point in time, they will cease to exist. They will not be punished. So, they think of hell as just a temporal thing or something that's not really going to happen. But the Bible tells us what? There's nothing like annihilation. There is what? Eternal torment. There's nothing like people ceasing to exist. there is what? Eternal torment for Satan and all unrepentant sinners. They will be tormented forever. Just sit down one day and just think of it. To be cut off and to be tormented forever. So that people will not cease to exist. We will continue to exist. But the resurrection tells us people will be given life again. Their bodies will be given life again. Our souls are not dying. They are there. The bodies that will have been buried will be given life again. But then this life will be given to you to suffer. You see, when people are suffering in illnesses, remember even Job's case, Job wished that he was dead. In and suffering and illness, he wished he was dead. It was better for him, he says. But then, he said, why has God given life to somebody who is suffering? So, those who go to hell, they'll be given life, but to go and suffer. Life without mercies of God, it's an endless torment. So Satan will give him, Satan's life in the hand of God, will be given life, but to suffer forever. So is every sinner who never repents, who thinks that he wants to live for himself. Yes, Satan lives for himself, so you join him and suffer forever. So hell will be waiting for such people. So coming to conclusion, my question to you, which place are you hoping to be? With God's people who enjoy the resurrection of life, eternal life, or with Satan and sinners who have to be suffer eternal torment? Where will you be? Let nobody deceive any of us that, well, hell is for a period and then to be cast out. No! Hell, the Bible tells us, is what? Tormented forever and ever. But Lord Jesus Christ gives us hope by his response to Martha in the verse 20. He said that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This eternal torment, if you live, you heard of Christ that he came to die for sinners, you yield your heart to him, repentance of sin, he saves you. He said that you will never die, you will never live in that state where you cut off from God's mercy and tormented forever like Satan. And he asked, do you believe it? Believing means, are you persuaded that it is true? Are you persuaded that it is true so that you have to leave all your rebellion and give your heart to Christ? That's what he said. Do you believe this? Yes, people say, yes, I believe. But then they want to live away from Christ. No. I believe. I give myself to you. Forgive me and do with me as you want. And change my heart and make me one of your children. Because eternal life is in him. He only can give us that pleasant life to live with God forever. Again, have you received this hope of eternal life in you? Yes, death, we shall all die one day. But what happens after? It's eternal. Whether of death to shame or to life eternal and happiness. Where we know no sin and its miseries. Which one do you want? Which one have you chosen? May the Lord help us as we think on this thing, because it put in our minds what and how and why we should live. That we should seek him who holds life, so that we can have eternal life when we die out of this world.